You're listening to the Script Lab Podcast. I'm Shani Edwards. Today I have a chat with Emmy-nominated actor Brian Pressley, who's now written, directed, and stars in the new film, The Great Alaskan Race. It's a true story about how a dog sled team saved the children of Nome, Alaska from diphtheria. Brian also talks about his motivation to take control of his roller coaster career and the importance of multitasking in film. We talk about his pet wolf, Utek, working with the sled dogs, and the challenges of shooting in the snow in 0 degree temps. He also tells me how he bribed his child actors with candy so they would give the best performances when they had to act sick. Let's hear a clip.
We have a problem. When the flu epidemic of 18 broke out, they died by the hundreds. This town is going to be savaged.
But don't we have the antitoxin?
I ordered more, but it didn't arrive with the last shipment. We need help. There's a blizzard dropping in from the north. We're gonna get that medicine here. We'll mush it in.
Daddy, what's gonna happen to us?
That's nearly 700 miles.
A relay. We station men at every roadhouse along the way.
I have to go ready.
The dogs will never make it. We have to try. Every day we wait, children are going to die.
You're ready, Togo. We're gonna come back.
We have lost contact.
Hi, Brian.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I'm here at P12 Films, which is your production company.
Yes, ma'am.
In Toluca Lake. And you have a wolf.
We have a wolf. Yep. Utek is part of the family. He goes where we go. He rides on the airplane with us. And then he's in the movie, The Great Alaskan Race. So we go back and forth from here to Colorado, and but he prefers the mountains and the cold versus Southern California.
Is he really a wolf?
He is a wolf.
The airlines are okay with you bringing him?
Dad was he's a service dog.
Okay.
So his dad's a timber tundra. Mom was wolf with a little bit of a Malamute mix. But he's primarily all wolf. So it's you know, it's fun to walk through the airport, watch people drinking their morning coffee and look up and see a wolf coming down, you know, the aisle of an airplane.
Well, I'll tell you, when I woke up this morning, it was the last thing I thought I would see today. So we're going to talk about The Great Alaskan Race, which is such an inspirational film. I personally love true stories, especially if there's a scientific element, which there is in this film. But before we talk about making this film, maybe you could tell me about your background, because you are an actor as well, and now you write, direct, and act. So maybe you could tell me how you got started.
Yeah, you know, I moved out here when I was 20 years old from Oklahoma, and ended up doing a McDonald's commercial. And in the commercial, I kissed the girl. I didn't say any lines and got paid. And so I immediately called my mom and said, I'm not coming back. And I got into business school at USC and began to get parts as an actor. And it was probably my mid-20s where I really started going, okay, I want to figure out how to make a movie. And I mean, remember watching Matt Damon and Ben Affleck with Good Will Hunting, and you know, how do you take control of your career? And so for me, I always liked the different challenges, and started kind of producing movies in my late 20s, and then have slowly kind of built where I'm at today, where, you know, getting behind the camera, writing, and you know, telling stories. So it's Hollywood is filled with highs and lows, and it's definitely been a roller coaster to get to this point. And but I'm grateful you know, the Great Alaskan Race is one that's been in my head for, you know, 9+ years, and so to finally get it made and get it to the screen, and you know, now that it's coming out on, you know, DVD and all the streaming platforms, you know, it's been fun to get people's reactions.
So what inspired you originally about this story 9 years ago?
You know, I'm just drawn to true stories. I'm drawn to, you know, stories of inspiration. And, you know, when I came across it, I thought, a friend of mine goes, you know, I can't believe this hasn't been made into a live action movie. You know, there's the animated movie Balto. But, and the more I researched it, I just said, you know, you're 100% correct. I can't either. And so I just set out. I felt like, you know, it's this type of thing. You have 20 dog mushers, 700 miles. How do you go about, you have the people in Nome, the kids in the hospital. It became a nationwide story. So, you know, I wanted to try to encompass all the elements that are in the movie that were part of the story. But I really felt like, you know, as I dove further and further, that Leonard Seppala and Togo were kind of the forgotten heroes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Gunner and Balto got most of all the credit. And, you know, Seppala really, I mean, covered the hardest stretch of terrain and, you know, went the furthest. And Togo was 12 years old. And so I want to kind of tell from their perspective and really giving them credit that they deserve. So, yeah, it was, you know, those dynamics, having kids, dogs, wolves, bears, all the elements of, you know, snow, weather. It definitely had its challenges, but we got through it. And, you know, Silverton, Colorado is where we filmed everything. And, you know, we went in there and, you know, the town of Silverton just, it was a dead time for them, you know, post Christmas and before summer hit. So they just jumped. I mean, they were helping us out and, you know, really opened the town up to us, which we couldn't have made it without them. So
what was the biggest challenge of filming in the snow?
You know, there's, you know, for me, I did a test shoot early on to see how we were going to shoot the dogs, how the dogs would react to cameras being in their face, and, you know, how we're going to track along with them. And, you know, we quickly realized, you know, the day one we were walking and we were, you know, trying to set cameras in different spots, and we were killing ourselves because we, you know, and I said, guys, we need snowmobiles. Well, then we brought snowmobiles in, and for the first half of the day, we then set out to put cameras in locations, but we spent half the day digging out the snowmobiles. And we got to go, okay, we need people who know how to drive snowmobiles. And so, you know, a lot of those little things just really helped us. And, you know, altitude was a big one, you know, people going down with altitude sickness. And so, you know, the elements, having heating tents, I mean, because there were some night shoots that it was, you know, 0 degrees and it was cold. So, you know, all those planning elements that go into shooting in those kind of conditions are very important.
Would you do it again?
Well, I did do it again. The next movie, we just finished Orphan Train, which is going to be out later this year. We shot in the same area in the winter, and it was even a harder shoot. Because in the Great Alaskan Race, most of the actors and the kids, their scenes were all inside. There was very few that were outside. You know, I was really the only one that, I mean, I could use and abuse myself in the snow. And, I mean, who am I going to complain to? So, you know, for me, it's making sure the crew was taken care of. And so in Orphan Train, the whole movie takes place outside in the winter. And so that was really challenging. So never say never. There may be a third one we're planning that could take place in winter. So, you know, for me, one of the biggest things in the Great Alaskan Race is the storm, making sure the storm was, you know, not your average snowstorm. And I wanted it to feel suffocating, like the disease in the hospital. And so, you know, when there was a blizzard coming, I'm like, let's go, let's jump out in it. And,
wow.
So, and I think we did a good job capturing the, you know, the essence of the storm.
Absolutely. Did you ever worry for your safety?
No, I never, you know what? I never worried for safety. I mean, we had, you know, paramedics on set, and we were in places close to Silverton. I mean, it was actually a lot of fun. I mean, we were living or stayed in Silverton, which was, it's a very, if you've never been there, it's tucked back up in the mountains, small little town. You know, it gave everybody the essence of feeling like you're removed, like a gnome, Alaska. And so that part of it kind of made it fun. Being and pretty much everybody who wanted to be there, I mean, knew the elements they were coming into. It wasn't like they thought they were making a movie in the sun and all of a sudden there's blizzards. So people wanted to be a part of the true story. The dogs really kept the morale up. I mean, people love dogs, probably more so than humans. And so, you know, having dogs on set every day, I mean, people love that.
And you didn't worry about the dog safety? They're fine out in the cold.
Oh, those dogs thrive in the cold.
Right.
I mean, that's, they're born to do that. I mean, there's a, you know, a lot of, there's been negative attention about dog sledding with PETA and whatnot. And for me, I spent, I've gotten to know so many people in that world, with the Iditarod, and I'm leaving tomorrow to go up to the Bear Grease, marathon in Minnesota, which is a big dog sledding race that we're doing a big, you know, thing for, and we're gonna, and they're promoting the movie and that it's coming out. So, but there's, these dogs are born for that climate. They're born to run. They're, I mean, when you go to, you, if you have 15 dogs and you begin to put them on a harness, they all start jumping, wanting to, you know, it's like they're all saying, pick me, pick me. And so it's pretty amazing to watch. So, you know, the dogs, our dog trainer on the movie, they actually all slept in the hotel with her. So they, but they're, dogs were amazing in the film, and yeah, it definitely a lot easier than I personally, people say, were the animals hard? Actually, they're easier than humans. So
did anything funny or surprising or strange happen while you were shooting?
One day, we were, you know, one of the locations, we're about 15 minutes away from the town where we would kind of set up our base camp, and then we would have to snowmobile up all the gear about 45 minutes up into the mountain. And we were shooting some of the stuff where he's crossing the big mountains. And so we were finishing up and on our way back, and I had the snowmobile. There was me, we had Utek, and two other people that were on, we had two snowmobiles, and we were pulling one of the dog sleds was hooked to the snowmobile. We were pulling it back down, and Utek was with us, and we totally got lost, and it was, the sun was starting to go down, and you know, here you have, we don't see anybody, and like, well, if we're going to be stuck out here, at least we have a wolf with us. And so we finally got back, and we about gave everybody a heart attack, because they were close to sending, you know, some rescue units to come look for us, but we've made our way back.
So let's talk about the script.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this isn't the first feature script you've written.
Right.
Tell me about how you learned to be a screenwriter.
You know, for me, I, as a producer, I used to, would hire writers to write screenplays, and, you know, writers would turn in drafts and then they wouldn't do another one. And so for me, I was like, okay, I'm just going to start doing it myself. And that's how I started, you know, like, to me, I think it's, you know, most people, there's a lot of people in this business that can shoot themselves in the foot. And, you know, for me, when you get opportunities, you have to seize them and, you know, go that extra mile. And so that's how I started writing. And then I just began, you know, to, when I come up with a story and I feel like I begin to see it, you know, usually I'll sit down and just, I'll start going. And that's where I kind of find that, you know, momentum through a story. So yeah, I enjoy the writing process.
And how did you have confidence that you could, you know, complete a script and then get it, direct it, star in it?
You know, those things didn't happen at one time. You know, for me, I've been able to produce a number of films and work aside some good directors and some not so good directors, to kind of be able to understand, you know, how actors want to be worked with. You know, I know how I like to be worked with. And, you know, casting's everything on a movie, you know, and, you know, you as a director, it's kind of a combination of an actor and a producer, because you also have to understand the producing side. It's not just all creative. You know, you got to understand, you know, what your schedule is, how you meet your days, and, you know, what budgets you're working in and what, you know, you can do from a production standpoint. And so, you know, for me, I slowly, it was Kurt Russell. I did a movie with Touchback, and I actually approached him to direct this movie. And he said, well, first off, you're not going to get me up in the snow for months. but he goes, and I said, I've played with the idea of doing it. And he said, well, if you see the story, then go tell the story. And so that doesn't always happen in every situation, but for this one, you know, for me, I produced movies and kind of just was kind of the, blended all my experience over the years, in front of the camera and behind the camera, and, put it all together on this one.
Oh, you did a great job.
Thank you.
'Cause there's a lot going on in this story and the elements.
Right.
And the dogs.
Right.
And the kids. Now, you worked with your daughter?
My daughter played my daughter in the movie. She, when I was going to cast, you know, I always kind of knew Emma had the personality and I think she would do really well. And she's just, if there's a stage, she'll find it. She's definitely, it's what she's born to do. And so, but then there's the fear of she's never really done anything. We get up here and she's going to be like, no, Daddy, I'm not saying that. Or, I don't want to go to set today. You know I mean? So, after auditioning a bunch of kids and meeting different actors, parents, I immediately was like, I need my daughter up here. And so she wanted to do it. You know, the first scene we did to get her used to the cameras, we did some stuff with her and the dogs and on the very first day, and she, you know, jumps behind the sled, and, you know, it's in the movie, but it wasn't a scripted moment. And she raises her hand up and says, and Sigrid Seppala wins the race. And, you know, just began improvising. And there's a scene where she's sitting with, on the log, talking to the two native people and asking what her mommy's like, and that was a completely improv scene on her first day. And so I knew immediately then, you know, and she had a blast. I mean, blast with the dogs, and she did an amazing job in the movie.
Well, they say don't work with children or animals, and you did both quite well.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it was a little bit insane at times. You know, I coached my son's football team, and so, you know, when we were in the hospital with the kids, we'd do different takes. We'd be like, okay, who can play the best sick kid award? And we had a bag of candy, and we'd pass out like awards, different takes, you know, get them competing. And so finding ways to, you know, get them to have synergy so that you keep their attention span, because, you know, sets are a professional environment. And so, you know, it's always that fine line.
It's funny that you say that, because there's one boy, there's a shot of him sick, mm-hmm. and he literally looks like he's going to die.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, yeah. He's so good.
Yeah.
How did he get that performance?
Yeah, yeah. We, I was behind the camera and, you know, talking to him and, you know, give me your sickest bone groan. You know, I've got the flu. You can hardly move, you know. And so it was funny. We would do some takes and then they'd bust out laughing and then we'd do it again. And so, but yeah, but the kids did great. We used a lot of kids there locally that were part of that town and cast a lot of kids out of Durango and but all real kids, you know, kids that weren't really actor kids that wanted to come be in the movie.
I want to ask you about how to deal with competing projects.
Yeah.
There's another film that tells a similar story. I haven't seen it. My first job out of film school was to write a biopic of Charles Darwin. Mm. And I was so excited. And I spent about a year working on the project, only to find that there was another film, a biopic about Charles Darwin, called Creation, and it was shooting when we discovered this was happening, and it broke my heart. And my producer was like, "Well, I guess we're done." Mm. And so my version never saw the light of day. And it happens a lot more than you think.
Right.
And I wonder what your relationship was like to this competing project and how you stayed motivated.
Yeah, look, Togo was Disney's version of this movie, was in the works. We'd already made our movie. And obviously our budget was probably as much as their craft service.
Sure.
For me, I didn't really look at it as a competing movie. I've seen their film. It's good. It's really good. It's a different angle on the story, even though it's about similar characters. And I always knew that there's been other companies that have had competing projects around the subject matter, and you know, we had got ours made and we had a distribution plan in place. And, you know, I think there's room for theirs too. I mean, I don't think it, Call of the Wild with Harrison Ford comes out this next month. And, you know, I think people are, you know, there's a fascination with Alaska and there's a fascination with, you know, I think animals and, you know, true stories and, you know, and I think, our movie touched on things that their movie didn't, and their movie touched on some things that ours didn't. And so, you know, I think I told my team, like, I think we're doing something right if Disney's making the movie. I think it's nothing but a good thing. And those are always tough, but, you know, I didn't look at it in that perspective.
Good for you. You persevered. I admire that a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
So a lot of my listeners probably might have acting backgrounds, might have directing experience and writing experience. What advice do you have for someone who wants to harness all three jobs?
I always tell people, and I get a lot of young people, you know, and what I would probably tell my kids if this is the industry they want to go into, you know, the more diverse you are, a lot of people really pigeonhole themselves into one thing. And, you know, what we look for is multitask people and people who can do three or four different things. And, you know, and experience being on a set. And you may be wanting to be a DP or an editor or a director or writer, but you're going to come work in a certain department. And, you know, opportunity leads to opportunity. And, you know, there was a young gal who worked on the Great Alaskan Race, and she was a PA, and I saw her work ethic. I mean, she was working circles around everybody, and I'm like, who's this person? And, you know, I, you know, told her what a great job she's doing. And one day we needed the mom who breaks down in the hospital after a child, and finding somebody who could do that and go there, and it ended up being this girl. She wants to be an actress, and but you know, it's having that mindset to, you know, go be involved and learn all aspects. You know, I think the more diverse you are, the more skill sets you have, the better off you're going to be. And so that's my advice to people. And don't pigeonhole yourself just because that's what you in your mind have fixated on, that that's what you're going to do. And so, you know, that's my advice. Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like these days, especially in independent film, you kind of have to do multitasking.
You do. You can't really compare yourself to people in this business, you know, because everybody's got a different path. And, you know, I think being, you know, passion's what's gotten me through the low points, you know. And so, but for me, always being able to, okay, I'm going to go write this story, or I'm going to, you know, I've taught myself how to edit. So I usually edit all my projects. And to, you know, we've got people who've come out of film school who come here with a little bit of a marketing. They've worked with different distribution companies. And the more I've learned, I mean, they can shoot, they can edit, they can help run social media. And, you know, so, you know, for me, I love finding people who, A, are hard workers, who, when they say they're going to do something, they do it. And people who can multitask. So, because doing independent films is not easy when, you know, you've got a sandbox to work in, and, you know, you don't have the studio pocket, for lack of a better word.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I wish you the absolute best of luck.
Oh, thank you.
The Great Alaskan Race. Everybody yep. should see it. Where can they see it?
Great Alaskan Race opens up January 28th on Cinema On Demand, Apple, Amazon. It's available on all the digital platforms. It comes out on DVD 28th, and I hope everybody enjoys it.
I look forward to your next project, The Orphan Train.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, another great story, true story. You know, father returns home from the Civil War to learn that his wife had passed. They all thought he was dead. His kids were put on the orphan trains and sent west, and it's his journey to find his children. So the orphan train movement ran for 75 years in this country, and started in New York. And it was an effort to try to start in New York City, to try to, you know, get kids off the streets and put them in farming families. And, you know, there's good stories and there's some bad stories. And but, you know, a lot of people have heard of it, haven't heard of it. But, you know, this one, it's a good one. I think people will enjoy, and it's an important piece of history, too. So.
Well, I love how family-centric your films are. And I guess a lot of that comes from you, because you have children. And
yeah, I mean, I think you know, to me, most important thing in life is, you know, family. And and so, yeah, I've kind of layered in spiritual themes of, you know, not faith-based movies, but movies that appeal to, you know, a secular culture and a faith culture around true heroic stories. I like watching, like, flawed people overcome overwhelming circumstances. And so both films, Great Alaskan Race and The Orphan Train, you see that, and which I think it's what I can relate to, and what I think people relate to those characters, because life has a way of kicking you in the gut. And if you haven't been kicked in the gut, well, it's coming.
It's coming. Yeah.
And so, you know, how you respond is key. And so, you know, those themes I've layered in to the film. So we've got another one called The Lion, which is a true story about Doug Zimbeck, who was in the Marine Corps, major in the Marine Corps. It's a love story between him and his wife, and he was fought in Fallujah and one of the most decorated Marines of all time. And that's one we're going to go into production on this year. And we've got several others in the pipeline. And so we want to keep bringing good stories to people.
Great. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for your time.